taking my sports bras to look like you better. But you help dad around the house, dreaming big man. But you play hockey with the boys. Go home, make noise, kiss a friend, make a mess, crash your car, do it again. Kiss a friend, make a mess, crash your car, do it again.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Leanin' with Jeff. I hope you guys are having a wonderful start of the week. The weather is quite chillier than you think. It was very hot for a couple days, and now it seems like it's cooling down a bit. But either way, I hope you guys are enjoying the summer. Today's episode, I will be interviewing a band, Flamingo Pier, so please be excited. But before we begin, let's get through some ads and some PSAs, and we will begin the show right away. So I will see you guys in a couple minutes. Here we go.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Maybe I'm just a manic pixie pacifist.
Summer Light is back, baby. On August 10th, spend the day with 14 local Vancouver acts, headlined by the Golden Age of Wrestling and actors. This year, you can attend your favorite indie music festival with no cost whatsoever. That's right, admission is free. In the East Side's very own Strathcona neighborhood, Summerlight is here to give new artists a chance to bring vibrancy to a part of Vancouver that so many artists call home. Summerlight Festival is brought to you by Light Organ Records. We can't wait to see you on August 10th. Pride got you down? Brace yourself for Vancouver's Shamefest 2024. Shamefest is a burning effigy of queer failure and the outsider artistic community terrorizing the downtown East Side. From August 1st to August 5th, Shamefest has 8 dehumanizing live music and artistic events that will cost you less money than attending just one of the corporate pride parties, because we know you're broke. Embrace shame and purchase tickets now at heroinmart.com/products/shamefest2024. heroinmart.com/products/shame-fest-2024. We'll see you at Shamefest.
Welcome to Lethal Refresh.
I'm Danny.
I'm B.
I'm Stu.
I'm Jay.
Let's get lethal. Let's get refreshed.
When it's darkest, we always attract the brightest people. Baby, you a light. You shift my whole world to the right.
Please listen to Lethal Refresh on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Nardor to you and Serviette and Doo-doo-loo-doo. Thank you!
Lethal Refresh, every Monday, 12 to 1 p.m. New music every week.
Re-20-20! Take some, take that one. I like the east side.
button and I let them tie. Yeah.
Are you interested in being advertised on the radio? CITR radio station broadcasts across 6,000 square kilometers, which means our airwaves reach 3 million folks across the land. From Point Grey Peninsula to Fraser Valley and as far north as Gibson's and Coquitlam Mountain. To find out how you can be advertising with CITR, contact advertising@citr.ca. advertising@citr.ca. Rates start at $100. Strut your stuff and do it with CITR today.
Hello, everyone. We are back. I am just going to connect the call once more, and we will begin the show. If you guys can hear me, do you guys want to say hi?
Yeah, it's Luke here. Hi, from Flamingo Pier.
Hello. I just got two calls. Are you guys both in the band?
No, hey, this is Jameson from Team Days. I'm here as well. Yeah, my own project.
Oh, I see. Apologies. I forwarded, so today's interview was based mostly on Flamingo Pier. That's what I was noticed. I apologize if there was any confusion with Teen Base. I know that you guys are in a way sponsoring Flamingo Pier to perform in Canada, if I'm correct.
No, I'm just opening up. I'm opening the show in Vancouver.
Okay, so are you guys a separate band?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Interesting. Okay, so I guess this will be a very interesting interview because I have both of you guys today. I must have gotten some sort of misinformation, but that is totally fine. If you guys are okay with this interview going simultaneously, I'm more than happy to continue on.
I'm also more than fine with jumping off the call and letting Luke take it over. Yeah.
I will contact Teen Base. I will contact you again, we can arrange a different time. But yeah, I mean, it seems like because it was forwarded within one section of an email, I must have thought that it was some sort of connection. But yeah, I mean, thank you so much for coming on and making the time. But yeah, let's definitely make another slot another time.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
We'll
Thank
be in
you.
Touch.
Sure.
Okay. See you soon, Flamingo Pier crew, by the way.
See you soon. Right,
see you later.
Yeah.
All right. Flamingo Pier, Luke, would you like to give a quick introduction about yourself and your band and what you guys have up lately?
Sure. It's Luke Walker here from Flamingo Pier. We're a New Zealand disco band. We're on tour at the moment through the US and a little stop in Canada in Vancouver. We make disco and play it live.
That's amazing. When did you guys come to Canada from New Zealand? How long has it been?
So this is our first time coming. So we're going to be coming in on Thursday. We've been making music for 10 years, but this is the first time we've managed to get to Vancouver, so we're really excited.
All right, yeah, that sounds very exciting. How is it so far in Canada? Where are you guys resided right now? Because the last time I spoke, you guys were in Chilliwack?
So we are currently driving up the west coast of the United States, and we're on our way to Canada. We've got a show in Seattle tomorrow, and then we're coming up to Vancouver on Thursday morning.
Oh, I see. And that will be on the 25th, where you will be performing with Teen Days?
Days. Yeah, that's right.
Awesome. All right. So why don't we just get right into this? So you guys are performing on the 25th, and I'm assuming you guys are kind of on tour right now.
That's right, yes. We just played San Francisco and Los Angeles over the weekend. We played at the Troubadour in LA, and then we're playing in Seattle on Wednesday, and then we've got the Biltmore Cabaret in Vancouver on Thursday.
Awesome. And how has the tour been so far? Was the preparation, you know, worth it? How was that like for you guys so far?
Well, it's the first time that we've been touring in America and Canada, so it's a little bit of hoops to jump through in terms of visas and all that. So there's quite a lot of preparation and preparing the set and bringing all the gear, but it's all gone smoothly so far. The first two shows were really fun. So far so good.
All right. And have you guys been touring lately, or is this something that you guys just started a couple of years ago, or was it still going on during Corona, or how is that for you?
So we've been on tour around this time the last couple of years. We just haven't managed to get up to Canada yet, but we've done a lot of touring in Europe mainly. We've had quite a few shows through Europe and London. That was where we actually met each other. We started in London, but we moved back to New Zealand, where we're from, just before COVID. We weren't able to tour over that time, but New Zealand actually stayed open quite a lot longer than the rest of the world, because we were able to keep COVID out. So we did a lot of local shows over that Corona period. So we were able to keep going, just weren't able to travel.
I see. And do you guys enjoy touring together? Is it something that you guys plan on doing in the future more often? How has it been so far?
Yeah, absolutely. We enjoy it. We're all friends, which helps. We were friends before we started making music together. We're currently in a Chevy Express 15-seater van, doing a lot of miles, and we get on well, so it's pretty easy going, which is nice.
All right. That's actually a topic that I would love to elaborate more on, but you just told me that your band members were your friends previously, and that's kind of how the band started, but how has that been for you guys? How was that transition between, you know, being friends and just hanging out to forming a band and creating art together?
Yeah, so we all, three of us, basically ended up living in the same warehouse in East London. And so we met there. Fairly quickly, we did start getting involved with listening to music together, obviously. But we quickly became friends, and then I had a studio in the area, and we started making music together. We also started throwing sort of our own nights, and that helped us to meet other artists and to give ourselves a chance to perform at our own nights and kind of hone our craft. So, I mean, it was a pretty smooth transition, and it definitely adds to the friendship, and it's something we're really happy about.
That sounds amazing. I mean, there are probably some obstacles you guys probably had to go through, you know, within the band and creating music and going on tour and all that. How has that process been for you guys? Do you guys maybe take a separate day off to organize everything and discuss separate roles and just discuss, you know, how the schedule is going to be and all that, or how the music is going and all, you know, all these updates going on? How do you guys kind of formulate that relationship and take time off to make the band as healthy as possible?
Well, most of us are able to take Friday off of our day jobs. We haven't been able to stop doing that yet, but that gives us one day, and then we rehearse together in the evenings. To be fair, like, between music and our other jobs, we don't have much time, but that's okay right now. But yeah, it's obviously very tricky when you've got five people who need to be able to take to be away from home for a long time. But fortunately, at the moment, it's actually going relatively smoothly on that front. So hopefully we're able to continue that.
All right. Moving on to the writing process of your music, because I love to ask, you know, musicians how that process is like. Every musician has their own specific unique way of writing music and creating songs. Do you want to maybe walk me through the process of how a song is made, whether it's beginning from the lyrics or the melody, or maybe you guys are just sitting in your, you know, in the same place and just discussing and brainstorming. How is that process for you guys?
Quite often we'll just set up some drums that we can jam over, and we'll all plug in all of our instruments and just sort of play around until we find something that we're excited by, and then sort of build that into something, use that as a base, and then add parts to it. It might be a melody, it might be a vocal line, it might be a bass line. But if we've got that something that gets us excited to start with, then we've got one section, and then we know that we need potentially a bridge or a chorus. So we just add to that that first spark of excitement that we've got. But essentially, we're just jamming together to find that magic.
Yeah, I think most musicians kind of begin with jamming, like you said, and they're playing certain chords and seeing if it works and all that. Does that work for you guys as well? Is it just a whole process of trial and error and just trying new things? And if that doesn't work, you just move on and go on to another one?
Yeah, I think we'll all be doing little things in our own way, and then someone will play something, and then everyone will get their attention caught by that, and then we'll sort of draw all of our attention to building on that idea that's come from one person generally. So that seems to be how it tends to work for us.
You did mention that you guys have day jobs. Does it ever happen for you guys where a certain melody or certain lyrics just pops up, you know, during the day, and you're just like, oh, I think that would be a good thing to put in the song, and then you try it out, you know, that evening during rehearsal or something?
Yeah, absolutely. I think because whatever you've worked on is sort of fresh in your mind, and you leave and then something might just pop in that you're like, oh, I can add that little part to that and that will improve it. Or you get an idea for a lyric or a melody that will complement whatever you've started with. Sometimes you even wake up from a dream and you've got some idea from the dream. You know, it can come at any time.
Yeah, I think that's a very cool thing. It just to go about your day and you just think about something, and that ends up being a wonderful idea for, you know, a song. So moving on.
Cool.
Yeah, no, I think it's quite common too. It's almost, those are the rare moments of actual, you know, like special creativity that you're just not even intending to think about, and that just kind of ends up being very special.
Yeah, it's very like much coming from directly from the soul rather than something you're trying to think into existence.
Yeah, for sure. So you guys are from New Zealand, and did you guys kind of start your music career there, or was it something that began in New Zealand but most of your performances were situated elsewhere?
So yeah, we started actually in London. So we all met there, even though we're from New Zealand. And so we actually ended up bringing it back to New Zealand after a few years of starting out in London. And we had a studio in London and a rehearsal space, and we ran events, and we actually did quite a lot of DJing as well to start with. But then we transitioned to the band as we had more and more songs that we'd written. And a couple of the band members are more from live music backgrounds, and I'm more from an electronic sort of DJ background. So it made sense. We felt like we could make most interesting performance by becoming a band, essentially, rather than just DJing.
That's really fascinating that you did DJing as well. How would you say that DJing has helped you or influenced the music that you are doing now? Or how it influenced the relationship between your friends and the band and how you guys create music?
Well, we're a dance band. We're always aiming to get people up on their feet, moving. And so having that knowledge of the dance floor and knowing what works and what gets people moving and what can turn off a dancer is really helpful. So yeah, I definitely picked that up from the DJing.
Yeah, I mean, DJing, from what I know, is mostly dealing with beats and the music, the melody of the song, and then songs, I guess, incorporates the lyrics and it kind of fits in that way.
Yeah, I guess it's more a case of how do we keep people moving rather than like dropping the energy too much and then losing them.
Yeah, I think DJing has its own very unique features that get the audience to participate. How would you say, what would be the core difference between audience participation with your performance when you're DJing and when you're performing with the band?
Well, I think when you're up there and you're really connecting and singing and playing instruments with people, it's a lot easier to generate that engagement and to get people connected with you. Whereas if you're standing behind a desk sort of playing songs, it's a lot less personal, a lot less intimate. So I think it's just a lot easier to connect with people and take the kind of energy and the excitement to a much more profound kind of place than when you're DJing. It's more real, it's more human. It's just a lot more exciting experience for us playing and I think for the audience.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful way to put it. I do feel like that personal connection is much stronger when somebody is performing, you know, in a band and they're looking at you and, you know, they're singing and you kind of are following their lyrics. It's like you're all in one page. And DJing is kind of more free in a sense. So everyone has their own, you know, dance moves or how they want to move. And they're losing themselves in the beat. And you as a performer, you're just creating, you know, that art and that beat. So moving on to the creative aspect of songwriting, I think this is a very difficult thing that I actually admire musicians do, because it really is difficult to keep creative and coming up with ideas. Are there any exercises or any activities that you guys do as a band or maybe individually that helps you continue on that creative thought and, you know, motivate you guys and really give you that step to thinking about new ideas and, you know, following how, you know, the society is going around and how that can influence your songs?
I guess from my perspective, I'm a keyboard player, so I like to play sort of unusual chords, play around with chords before I even start to actually write, like put them together. So I guess it's more like theory exercises with chords that generate different shades of feeling, kind of playing around with those before you're actually thinking about writing a song for me. I'm here with Dom, who's the vocalist, and what about you, Dom? Do you have anything that you...
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, how are you?
I think very, very well, thank you. It's really exciting to be here. The thing for me is probably just getting out and socializing and doing things like what we're doing right now, this traveling and this trip, playing shows, meeting different people, I find is the most inspiring thing for me in order to create creativity. you know, to make me feel creative is by getting out and being part of the world and meeting other people, and then that inspires my music for sure. In terms of, I'm mainly more melody and lyrics, and I would say, yeah, that's the main way for me.
Do you guys ever? I'm sure you guys write songs about, or at least some of the songs that you guys write about are related to some sort of common theme, whether it's about love or excitement or, you know, friendship. When you guys stumble upon those common themes within your songs, how do you keep those two songs or those several songs distinct within each other that's dealing with the common themes or ideas?
I think that it seems to happen naturally. If we feel like we're veering too far into something we've already done, then we'll pick up on that and sort of move on or adjust what we're doing. But yeah, I mean, the themes that we're excited about tend to be like joy and love and connection and, you know, sort of transcendent experiences together through music and dancing. And so I guess it is, we do know what we're talking about in terms of common themes, but it doesn't, yeah, we just pick up on it if it's getting too similar to something previous we've done.
All right. I want to go into your guys' band name. I think it's a very great name, Flamingo Pier. How did you guys come up with that name? What's the origin story of the name being born?
Well, as I mentioned before, we started out writing music and also doing events. So we throw parties on a floating pontoon in a suburb of Hackney, a suburb of East London in the UK called Hackney Wick. And the pontoon part, we had people dancing on the pontoon, so you're sort of floating on the canal. And then we also had sort of neon flamingos as part of our decoration. So essentially, it was the pontoon was the pier and the neon flamingos for the flamingo. And so it sort of combined to be Flamingo Pier.
Would you say through the years of performing that the flamingo has some sort of symbolism or some sort of value or representation that it portrays within your band?
Well, I think it's sort of associated with disco and good times, a bit of flamboyance, bit of color and sort of vibrancy. We like pink. So it definitely has some symbolism for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a great name, you know, Flamingo Piers. I think flamingos always have that very cool image of being pink, which is a very bright, beautiful color, and then, you know, having it very long and tall, and just, I think it's a very good symbol to put into a band. So
absolutely,
yeah.
Worked for us.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, for it.
All right.
Hello, Jeff.
Yes, I think you just broke out for a couple seconds.
Apologies. We're in the mountains in the Pacific Northwest, so apologies for that. But yeah, we're here. We can hear you.
Awesome. I mean, how's the view there?
Oh, it's lovely. We're currently sitting next to a river with mountains all around us, and there's a carved bear right next to us. We're sitting on a picnic table. We just had a nice lunch, so we're happy.
Have you guys ever encountered animals maybe during your guys' trip on the road?
I've been looking out for eagles. We've seen hawks so far. I really would like to see a bear. When we stayed in Los Angeles, we were actually right next to Sierra Madre, which is famous for having bears that come down and go through your trash, etc. So part of me hoped that would happen, but unfortunately I didn't get to see a bear yet, but we've still got time.
Yeah, I mean, I heard that eagles are much bigger than you think they are when they're up close. And I think that goes with a lot of birds.
Absolutely.
All right. Why don't we get to your guys' fans, maybe. So you guys have performed in London. I'm sure you guys have performed in New Zealand, and you guys are in the U.S. right now. Would you say that there is a difference between, you know, fan engagement or when you're performing, you know, a sense of emotion or just reactions that, you know, the fans have depending on where you guys are performing?
In a way, but I feel like we've been lucky in that because we're kind of a high energy sort of dance floor focused act. We've been lucky that people generally get involved and get moving pretty quickly. There's not too much standoffishness, no matter where we are. So far, I mean, there's more places that we can go to that it might change, but so far it's been pretty commonly really up for it and into it.
Are you able to choose a song maybe that is probably the best at, you know, getting people on their feet, and maybe describe what feature that song has that brings in that audience engagement?
Well, the one that's been really exciting for us lately has been actually a new song, which is Mazunte. I think I passed it on to you. It only just came out, but every time we play it, it's had a really amazing response. And I think the main reason is that it's got a super funky bass line and a really, really catchy top line of vocal and trumpet together. So it's sort of, it's super funky, it's super energetic, it's been working really well in the live set.
Yeah, I know, you did forward this to me, and I will be playing it towards the end of the show. Mazunte, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, we actually recorded it in Mazunte, which is a town in Mexico on the coast of Oaxaca. We were there last year when we were on our last tour, and we got to spend a bit of time in the studio at our friend Quinn's house. He's basically built an amazing studio and guest house in Mazunte, which is a little surf town on the coast, and we recorded it there. So we've decided to name it after the place we recorded it.
Awesome. I will be definitely listening to this in the studio. Would you want to maybe run down how or what the song is about, what kinds of theme it draws upon, and how that kind of connects with your band and what you guys perform?
Yeah, I'll take this one. I think it's pretty on brand for us as in terms of, when I'm writing, I try not to overthink it too much. I just go with what I'm feeling at the time, but I'm always thematically imagining how it's going to be performed live. And I kind of, just whatever gets evoked at the time, but channeling that energy of essentially positivity and joy that I want to create for people on the dance floor. And then whatever comes, comes. And we were in a pretty positive headspace when we were down in Mazunte. You know, it was a beautiful surf area. It was warm, it was sunny, and we'd just done some great shows in London and Berlin. And I was feeling pretty good about stuff and wanted to keep making music that will keep people dancing the way they were on our previous shows. So that's what came out, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Dancing is a very strong thing that I think you guys are focusing on when you're making music. And I personally love dancing. And I think listening to music, if you aren't dancing, it's almost not doing you the proper effect. What is it that you guys think is so important about dancing and music, or music bringing out that dancing in someone? What is that importance that you guys see in that?
I think that getting together and dancing is one of the only things that we can do that is going to take you out of your day-to-day headspace. You know, everyone's got stuff they have to deal with. Everyone's, you know, got their own problems. But, you know, if you can release that and let go on the dance floor, you might have a couple of hours where you're not thinking about how you're going to pay the bills, and you're potentially going to be connecting with other people and having a joyful experience. And so I guess that's why it's so important to us, because it's one of those moments where you're actually just released from all the pressures of life.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think when you're dancing to a song, you do just completely lose yourself in the beat and the lyrics, and you just forget about whatever is going out outside at the moment.
Totally.
Do you guys have any interesting stories maybe of someone dancing too hard and they either, you know, like passed out or something, or, you know, someone who seemed like a very shy audience member, but apparently she just, you know, or he, whoever it is, just goes crazy or something? Any cool stories there?
Well, we do have one incredibly devoted fan in New Zealand who I'll leave nameless. I don't want to shame them or anything, but she's truly loved our music, but she cannot help but try and get up on the stage. And she's had a few incidents where security has removed her, not because we wanted to, but because they felt that she was being inappropriate on the dance floor. But afterwards, she would come and say, "I'm sorry, I just couldn't help myself. I get so lost in in the moment that I have to get up there. So, but definitely, you know, there's some fans who perhaps get lost in the music, if you will. Yeah.
And if she's not trying to get up on stage, she'll be climbing the speaker and trying to dance on that.
Now, that's quite funny. I think I wouldn't be angry. I think I'd be kind of just laughing and kind of almost proud that, you know, my music. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's amazing that your guys' music has the power to actually have someone go on top of a speaker and really just lose themselves and dance. I think that's a wonderful thing. I mean, what exactly do you guys do in that situation? Is it to the point where it's disrupting the performance, or is it just something that you just leave and, you know, it doesn't really affect how the night's going?
I mean, if we're able to continue to perform and to play our instruments and sing, et cetera, it doesn't really make a difference to us. But often the security will see that and they won't hold out for that, and they'll come and remove the person. But yeah, I mean, as long as we can carry on performing, it's not a big deal for us.
All right. So the next question I have is more towards music and how that connects to society. First, I want to ask, how long has it been since you guys have been writing music with each other and performing as a band?
We started out in 2015 making music together. And we did, like I mentioned, we were sort of DJing at first, and then we started out with the live band probably 6 years ago.
We didn't really focus on the live band until... when COVID hit, I was the last one to move back to New Zealand during 2020. And we obviously had more time because everything was shut down. So we wrote an album. And that was when we were like, okay, well, we're all living in the same country. Maybe we could do a live version of this now. And I think it's really since 2020 that we started truly focusing on doing it as a band. But yeah, making music together for almost 10 years now, in some form.
All right, yeah, that's more than enough time to view the changes that have been going on in this world in that industry. You know, whether it's internet, social media, and people's interests and values and what they respond to. How would you say that performing and being in the music industry for close to a decade has changed the way you guys write your music, or maybe even view the music industry? How is that like for you guys?
Well, we certainly have, the more times you perform, you kind of hone what works and what doesn't. The music industry wise, I guess you just discover that most of it is based on connections with people, you know. There's a lot of talented people out there that might not be getting the accolades because they don't have the right connections, or they don't, they just haven't made those networks. So that's interesting, potentially not a good thing. But overall, yeah, you just hone your craft essentially. Every gig you get better, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So we have around 2 minutes until the interview's over, and I want to use these 2 minutes to ask you guys some low stakes questions, I guess you could say, a little bit silly. So I hope you guys enjoy these questions.
Yep.
And think hard though, because, you know, they might be silly, but they actually are quite complex in a way. So the first one is, if your band were to be a type of fruit, what would it be, and give a short description of why it would be that fruit?
Well, the first thing that came into my mind was a watermelon. Juicy, not too sweet, but sweet enough. Great on a cold day, great on a hot day, great anytime. That was just what came into my mind.
Yeah, I think a watermelon is a great choice.
And pink.
And it's the right color.
Yes, indeed. What would be the strangest food you guys have ever eaten while on tour?
Oh. Strange.
Did we have anything unusual when we played in Egypt? We definitely got food poisoning when we ate in Egypt. So.
We got taken for a traditional meal, which was delicious, but nobody's stomachs were good the next day. But nothing challenging. Like we're all pretty adventurous eaters, I would say. Like we're all food lovers. So it's nothing weird. Like we haven't had to eat tarantulas or anything.
All right, my last one
just
is.
Also, by the way, with the watermelon thing, we also we have our own party on this island Waiheke. We do a day party of disco and good times in the summer, and it's off the coast of Auckland where we're from, and we like to hand out watermelons to the crowd, so we just go around with platters and give out watermelons. Just that's a little bit of extra on the watermelon front.
Sounds amazing. Yeah. Handing out watermelons.
People love free.
Oh yeah, for sure. I would love free watermelon. I don't think I've ever seen anyone hand out free watermelon, so I think that's a very unique thing to do, especially in the hangout.
It's fun. People love it.
All right, the last one I have for you guys is, which member of the band would survive the longest in a zombie apocalypse and why?
Brad, probably.
Brad, because Brad is the guitarist and also sings and plays a bit of bass as well, actually. He's very cunning. He's very fast.
I would just say he's incredibly resourceful. He's good with his hands and he likes making things and he likes... Like, we leave him to pack the van because he's very specific about how it should be packed. So he's got good ideas and resourcefulness.
Very practical.
Yeah. He's smart. So, yeah, we'll give it to Brad. I'd be gone first.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the show. Jericho. Yeah, no problem. I hope you guys' tour goes safe and sound. Good luck to you guys for your performances. And everyone... please come to Vancouver. Do you guys want to give the specific location of where you guys would be performing on the 25th of Thursday this week?
Yeah, we'll be playing at the Biltmore Cabaret with Teen Days as a special guest. So that's Flamingo Pier playing live and Teen Days joining us at the Biltmore Cabaret.
Awesome, guys. Yep. Thank you again for coming on my show. I hope it all goes well and have a lovely, wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Bye-bye, guys. All right, guys. That was Flamingo Pier. They sound amazing. I mean, it was amazing having a conversation with them. Please go check out their songs because during the interview, like I mentioned, they mentioned dancing and engagement a lot. And I think that's, I'd say, one of the best things, you know, a band or a musician can do is really focus on the audience's engagement and their participation and the connection between their music and the people. So please go check out their song. But for now, I want to turn on one of their songs, a new track release called Mazunte that we discussed very briefly in this show. So we will end off this episode with Mazunte playing by the Flamingo Pier. And once again, they are performing in Vancouver 25th this Thursday. So I hope you guys enjoy this song and I will see you guys in a couple minutes.
One of these moments, one of these days.
Bye.
That was Mazunte by The Flamingo Pier. That is it for all of you guys today. That was amazing. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. And please, once again, check out Flamingo Pier performing on Thursday, the 25th. And not only is Flamingo Pier going to be performing, but also Teen Days. So please go check those bands out. They're going to be amazing. It will not be a waste of time. And you know what? Go there, jam to some music, and dance a little bit. You know, there's no harm in enjoying some music and letting your body move to the beat. It's really going to be a great experience. So please go check them out. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And I will bring you guys another episode on the second week of August, because there is a renovation going on in the studio, so I will be not here next Tuesday, but I will be back the next one. So please stay tuned for some juicy interviews coming in the future. Please enjoy the weather while it's great, and I will see you all in 2 weeks. Bye-bye, everyone.
us from the tree. If only I knew how to tell a friend from an enemy.
Still flowing.